In the words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap. Or if you prefer, a setup. In our gospel reading today, the scribes and the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus, and they're using this poor woman as a pawn to do it. And I want to talk about three things. First, what was the trap, and how did Jesus turn it back on them? And second, why was Jesus writing on the ground with his finger, and what was he writing? And third, what lessons are there for us in how Jesus treated this woman? So first thing, the scribes and the Pharisees bring a woman who'd been caught in the act of adultery before Jesus, and they ask him whether or not she should be stoned to death in accordance with the law of Moses. And here's the trap. If he says yes, then they can report him to the Romans for inciting a violation of Roman law, because under Roman law, they were the only ones who had the power to execute capital punishment. So Jesus would be arrested, and they'd be rid of him. But if he said no, she shouldn't be stoned, then they could expose him to the people as a fraud and a false prophet for refusing to follow the law of Moses. He'd be discredited in the eyes of the people, and they'd be rid of him. But of course, Jesus sees right through the trap, and he turns it right back on them by putting the onus of what to do with this woman right back on them when he says, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And of course, no one would, because anyone who actually started throwing stones would have been immediately arrested by the Romans. This is all happening in the temple precincts, and the Romans had a fortress with a garrison right next to the temple from which they could look down into the temple courtyards and see everything that was happening. But if they don't stone her, then they're exposed as hypocrites because they're the ones who are not following the law of Moses. So faced with the choice of either being arrested by the Romans or being branded a hypocrite, they chose the lesser of two evils. And John tells us that the elders were the first to leave. And that's because, being the oldest and the wisest, they were the first to realize that they'd been had. But gradually, the younger ones realized it too, and eventually they all leave. But we shouldn't think that they were somehow convicted of their sins in their heart by what Jesus had said, because they went right on trying to come up with ways to get rid of him. The fact that they knew they'd be arrested if they actually stoned her, coupled with the fact that they only brought the woman to Jesus when the law of Moses required that both the man and the woman be condemned and stoned to death, shows us two things. It shows us, first, they had no intention of stoning anyone that day. And second, it shows us that they weren't really concerned with the law of Moses. This was all about getting Jesus. And this poor woman was just a pawn in their game. Second thing. John tells us that as the scribes and Pharisees were asking Jesus what he thought should be done with this woman, he was writing on the ground with his finger. And then, after Jesus said that the one without sin should be the first one to throw a stone, he continued writing on the ground with his finger. So what's going on here? Why would he do that, and what was he writing? It must have been important for John to mention it twice. Well, through the millennia, lots of explanations have been offered for this, and not a little bit of speculation has been made. He was writing the sins of the scribes and the Pharisees. He was writing the names of the scribes and the Pharisees. He was writing the names of their mistresses. He was just doodling in the sand to show his indifference toward them, how they weren't worth paying attention to. And this is just a few of the many explanations that have been offered. But the mysteries of the New Testament, or the answers to mysteries in the New Testament, can often be found, or usually found, in the Old Testament. And under the law of Moses, what was supposed to happen was that the man and woman who committed adultery were to be brought to the priest, And the priest would write the names of the sinners and their sin on the ground. And then, upon the testimony of at least two witnesses, both the man and the woman would be condemned and stoned to death. So as you can see, the scribes and the Pharisees were not following the law of Moses in a number of ways, even as they were trying to use the law of Moses to trap Jesus. By writing on the ground, Jesus was highlighting the fact that the scribes and the Pharisees were not following the law of Moses. He was highlighting their hypocrisy and showing them and all the other onlookers that the scribes and Pharisees were not actually following the law of Moses that they claimed to hold to and follow so strictly. By writing on the ground, Jesus was also probably fulfilling a prophet given by the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 17, it says, "Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." In John chapter 4, what does Jesus tell the Samaritan woman at the well that he would have given her if she would have asked? Living water. Jesus is the fountain of living water. Jesus was probably writing on the ground the names of those who had forsaken and turned away from him, including very many of the scribes and Pharisees who were right in front of him, who had already turned away from him in their hearts, and who were literally turning away from him at that very moment. And so they all leave, and Jesus is left alone with the woman. And he asks her, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" There were no witnesses there to testify against her. And so what does he say? He says, "Neither do I condemn you." Case dismissed. The great irony here is that even though the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to use the law of Moses to trap Jesus, Jesus was the one who was actually following the law of Moses. Now, some of you might be thinking, very nice. It's very interesting, but of no immediate application to my life. And if you're thinking that, you'd be wrong. And you'd be wrong for two reasons. First, the essence of the Christian life is to be a lover of Jesus Christ and to live out our lives in accordance with that love. And the lover always wants to know, or should always want to know, as much as he or she can about the beloved, because we can't love what we don't know. And so the lover of Jesus always wants to know more about just who this Jesus is, what he's about, what he's doing, and why he's doing it. And the second reason why we should care about what Jesus is doing here is because there are important lessons for us in how Jesus treated this woman, which is the final thing I want to talk about. What does Jesus tell this woman? He says, "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." This shows us how the Lord is full of mercy and how he's always ready to forgive us for our sins. So maybe you've fallen down in your Lenten observances, because I know I have. Maybe you've completely botched them. Or maybe you've done something considerably worse than that. Go to him in confession. His willingness to forgive is inexhaustible. And when we're done, he tells us essentially the same thing that he told the woman in our gospel reading today. Go and sin no more. But notice also how he doesn't lie to this woman. He doesn't tell her that what she did wasn't a big deal or that it wasn't really a sin. He confronts her with the fact that what she did was a sin and that she shouldn't do it again. He invites her to change her life. Jesus loved this woman far too much to leave her as he found her. And he loves us far too much to leave us as we are. Every encounter with Jesus, as we encounter him in confession, is an invitation to us to change our lives, to change them for the better, to turn away from sin. And he gives us the grace in the sacrament to do it, if we choose to. And similarly, we don't do anyone any favors by minimizing the sins of others, by deceiving them into thinking that their sins aren't really sins, or by confirming them in their sinful behavior out of a false sense of charity to make them feel better. The simple fact of the matter is, we cannot attain eternal life while indulging in serious sin. The essence of salvation is to be freed from sin. So we can't be saved while still sinning, because sin is what we're being saved from. So if you are confronted with someone's sin, as Jesus was, don't condemn them, but don't lie to them. Tell them the truth with love. And praying for them would be a good idea too.